Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
We get a people.
We had so much action in the NBA last night, but we have some big news in the NFL. Follow these tea leaves. Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, is now the head coach of the Broncos. Jalen, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is what this news is about. Do you think this makes it likely for him to follow Hackett to Denver, or does that mean there is a spot at offensive coordinator in Green Bay in which he could help fill with something that would make him happy? What do you think the impact on Rodgers is with this hire?
Like Tupac once said, follow me. Here's what I believe, sir. If you're the Denver Broncos and John Elway, you've been there. You've done that with Peyton Manning later in his career. So you're planting seeds that you hope become a harvest. And if Aaron Rodgers hasn't said he's committed to Green Bay long-term and he's talking about leaving, guess where he wants to end up? Somewhere where it's a familiar voice after all of these great years of playing. And at an MVP level again this year, still playing on one of the best regular season teams we have going in the league. So if you Denver, that's a boss move. That's a smart move. But now that he's in Denver, you're Aaron Rodgers. You're looking at the pieces on the chessboard. If you are deciding to stay, this now becomes another spot that the organization and you can work together to fill, work together to make sure the people that you want to get re-signed are actually re-signed. Devontae Adams is an obvious one. He and Coach LaFleur both talked about the franchise not being in a position to rebuild. And obviously, why would you when you have Aaron Rodgers? So to me, the Denver Broncos are doing a smart thing. They're playing chess. Now they're going to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Well, to me, the obvious thing would be, well, this means that Aaron Rodgers is going to follow his offensive coordinator to Denver. But I see this as an opportunity for the Packers to say, Aaron Rodgers, whoever you want in this spot, you can have. You want your fiance to be calling plays? Let's bring her on the staff. Like, whatever you want. We're going to bring back Adams, and you can handpick the offensive coordinator of your choice, which will keep you in a Packer uniform. Because while this, on first pass, you're like, ooh, this means Aaron Rodgers is going to Denver. But to me, if I'm the Packers, I use this as a way to keep Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Do you think they will do that?
I do. I think that's something that they'll hope to have happen. Everybody wants Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback. But I have to say this, and I'm really happy for Nathaniel Hackett, and I hope he does a great job. When is Eric Bieniemy going to get one of these gigs, man?
If he wants one, he's going to get one. If he wants one, he's going to get one this summer.
Okay, got it. Because I'm not seeing at the bottom of the ticker he's interviewing for multiple positions. I'm not seeing he's a favorite in pole position to get some gigs. So I want to watch how that plays out. But your point about Aaron Rodgers is exactly right. You're the Green Bay Packers. That's something to sweeten the pot. You can also now choose your offensive coordinator because you got a terrific young head coach in Matt LaFleur.
I think this means Aaron Rodgers stays, but we'll be talking about this for months. Well, what is at the bottom of the ticker now is Big Ben Roethlisberger, has made it official. After flirting with retirement year after year after year, he now has announced that he has retired after 18 seasons. What do you think about Big Ben's legacy in Pittsburgh?
So, like, his legacy is champion, two times over, 18 years, very durable. Like many athletes, he had his turbulence off the field that is acknowledged by those who covered it and understand some of the things that he's overcome and some of the challenges that he got himself involved in. But out on the field, he exemplified what you want from a professional. And also that position has changed. So Jacoby, you and I saw many what's considered statuesque quarterbacks. Like now you see like a Justin Herbert, a big arm guy, whatever. But like the Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Big Ben, like just standing in the pocket, being surgical as possible. But Big Ben taking it to a different level because of his size. I lovingly say he was in the pocket like a refrigerator, just kind of boxy, just kind of shaking dudes off with the big shoulder pass type of thing, and still finding ways to make the big throws downfield. And so I want to make sure I salute the future Hall of Famer. It was a joy for me to watch him play for all of these years. I think it's a great call for him to step away from the game at this point. And like you and I have talked about all this entire season, we felt like not only should this be his last year with the Steelers, it should be his last year in the NFL. Congratulations, well, Big Ben.
I mean, we always talk about athletes and their legacy and their sort of like signature move. For Big Ben, it's always going to be sort of two defensive ends closing in on him in the middle of the pocket, thinking it's a guaranteed sack. And he doesn't like elude them. He just kind of ducks under tackles, bounces off of them, and then completes it downfield to Antonio Brown for a touchdown. Like, he doesn't really move up in the pocket to be elusive the way that Tom Brady does. He just sees the contact coming and sort of leans into it and ducks around it and somehow gets away from it. He seemed like it was so slippery and impossible to tackle in the pocket. That's one thing I will always remember about Big Ben. Well, Jalen, we had a full slate in the NBA last night, and the number one team in the Western Conference, the team with the best record in the NBA, proved why with another virtuosic performance from Devin Booker. What do you think about his 43?
So the thing I'm liking about the maturation of Devin Booker's game is earlier in his career, people forget he had a 70-point game against the Boston Celtics. And usually when that happens for a young player, you can start to try to become a volume scorer. I appreciate what Coach Monty Williams, and then adding CP3, he's become a more effective and efficient scorer and not a gunner. And also, he's one of those guys that puts up numbers like this. And if you notice, he's playing in all areas of the floor. It's not just like spotting up behind the three-point line. He's working the game. And that's why I like watching Phoenix play, because it's not just a monolith like we see with so many teams where everybody kind of look alike. And so when he gets going, it's really great to watch, because now all of a sudden they have more bigs. Ayton was out. Biombo was starting playing good minutes for them. And they're using Smith playing good minutes. And so the Phoenix Suns are starting to distinguish themselves, as you mentioned, while the Golden State Warriors are trying to get themselves healthy as the best team in the Western Conference.
Jalen, I'm glad you mentioned Biombo, because Biombo had a play last night that I want you to sort of like walk us through as you look at the Western Conference standings. The Suns are 3.5 up on the Warriors. But look at this Biombo play, Mr. Rose, and tell us what you see.
What? Hey, big guy! Hey. Hey, big fella. Hey, watch him. Watch him wipe his hand, Jacoby. Watch this.
Slip. Oh, yeah, slip. It slipped out of my hand.
That ain't what you do,
you always make fun of air balls, and as someone who throws a lot of air balls, that's not fair. Bismack, I got your back. You shouldn't take that as a jump shot. He was in between jump shot and floater. He couldn't really decide what he was doing. His hand was wet. His hand was wet, Mr. Rose. The ball slipped. You saw it right there. Listen, Bismack Biombo, I got you. Dog. Look at him. Look at his hand is drenched.
Run,
how do you expect him to make that? His hand is drenched. Look at that. Come on, man. It slipped. He couldn't decide whether he wanted to dunk it or not. That's what it was. He was like, do I take off from here and dunk it? Nah, I'll shoot a shot. It was
a
wet hand.
Hey, big fella, you playing with Chris Paul. It's called pick and roll. You know what I'm saying? Go to the hoop. You see that little circle in front of the rim? That's called the restricted area. That's where we want you to eat and get your buckets. Great to see you playing good minutes, big fella. But man, oh man, that was hilarious.
Well, you know, Bismack Biyombo had the wet hand, so he couldn't finish that. But Eric Pascal could finish this. Jalen,
powerful impact. Boom from the can. I like to go deeper in the box. So you see that big boy basketball? That's what I was saying about Joel. That's how he out there playing this year. Get off me. Like in above the rim, right?
You were talking about this yesterday. Like, he's the type of dude that hurts you while you defend him. Like, man, the next time you just get out the way. Next time he's just getting out the way. It's like, I don't want those kind of problems. Jalen, we had a big game in the Eastern Conference. The former Eastern Conference champion, Milwaukee Bucks, are playing good basketball, but the Cavs are playing some of the best basketball in the NBA. And they got the win in this one. And listen to this. They are now above the Bucks in the standings. Jalen, what do you think about this Cavaliers team?
I like to first off shout out JB Bickerstaff, because when he got the job in Cleveland, I said about him what I said about Ty Lue, what I said about Monty Williams, what I'm saying before it even happened about Chauncey Billups and Willie Green and Ime Udoka. Save this footage. Gonna do a great job. And the Cavs, like me and you talk about, are a team that's perennially been in the lottery without LeBron James. But the difference is hitting on those picks. Garland deserves to be an all-star this year. He's been terrific scoring the ball and distributing the ball. And Mobley, I mean, the sky's the limit for his potential. I mean, like, he out there blocking shots, changing shots. Hey, did you see him dunk on Giannis?
Oh, yeah. You see Garland set him up? Let's run that play.
Let's run that play. Yeah, so like, this is becoming, like, one of the great dynamic young duos in the NBA. And then from a management standpoint, as JB continued to nurture the roster, as we see Garland do, watch this. Giannis, you're going to need some wings after the game, baby.
Look at this. Look at Garland set him up, though. Ooh.
Hey, Giannis going to need some extra sauce on them wings after the game.
Yeah.
And so, when healthy, your guy Jared Allen, and also Mobley up front, blocking, changing, contesting shots. This is why I love Giannis so much. He don't take anything for granted being in the United States.
He had the wing already half eaten, but he put the top back on to keep the wings warm. That's advanced wing eating right there. He didn't want the wings to cool down. So between every bite, he puts the top back on. Jalen, you can't disagree with me on this one. You got to keep the wings warm, dog. You can't expose all that wings to that air.
Hey, man, I got some serious finals MVP breaking news as I see Giannis eat those wings. Remember a time when there was a gentleman named Michael Jeffrey Air Jordan that was allegedly eating pizza in Utah? What did he do to that pizza the night before, Jacoby? You and I did the 30 for 30 Last Dance documentary as Jalen and Jacoby. What did Michael Jordan do to that pizza the night before?
First of all, I believe none of that story. 0% of it do I believe, okay? But allegedly that he ordered the pizza and then did not share the pizza because he didn't want anyone else to eat his pizza, so he ate the pizza himself.
And so that they wouldn't eat it, he did what to it?
Licked it. Spit on it? What'd he do?
Correct. And so...
None of that happened.
So this is why I want to get on Giannis.
He was hungover. This is stupid.
You can't have a bucket of wings, dog. Bite a couple and put all of the bones back in there.
That's a good point.
That's a soft move, dog.
I'm sure they had plenty of wings back there.
Come on, man.
He's keeping them warm, man. This is a boss move. He's keeping the wings warm. He's creating an environment in which the steam keeps them warm. After every bite, he puts the top back on. That is advanced wing. Those are his wings. He's not sharing those wings. You want some wings? Get your own wings. I got
these
wings.
There's 150 of them in there. What if he got a family member that want to grab some or a teammate that want to grab some?
Of all people, you cannot wing shame people, Mr. Rose. I've seen you order 30, 40 wings for yourself in one sitting. You don't even eat them all. You just like to look at them and have different varieties, man. You cannot wing shame Giannis.
I ate wings for dinner last night.
I love your wing technique. How many wings?
I had about 10 whole wings. You know what I mean? Not just drum and a flat.
Cooked the
whole wings.
Jalen. Matt Stafford said something that you really need to hear about his time in Detroit with your Lions. It is shocking. We'll play what he had to say right after this.
Uh-oh.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this.
Here we go.
Coming to you live from the Seaport, New York City, and brought to you by Chase, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, you spent year after year after year watching Matt Stafford quarterback your Detroit Lions to losses. No playoff, no NFC championships for you guys. However, he is now in the NFC championship in a Rams uniform, and he reflected on his time in Detroit and had something very interesting to say.
A lot of people here in Detroit obviously happy for you, still rooting for you. I think some people are also wondering maybe, you know, why it never happened in Detroit. What's your theory on that?
I haven't thought too much about it, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm in the present, being, kind of where my feet are planted and taking care of business here. Had a great time, a great run there. Loved playing there for 12 years, but I'm in this place now and enjoying the opportunity to be a part of this team and see where we can take it.
Never thought about it. Never thought about why we didn't win Detroit. Just never crossed my mind. Wasn't a concern of mine.
Dun, 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 dun. Houdini's one of my favorite groups. They had a song, Escape, Gotta Get Away. I don't have to tell you, I know you know about that. With that being said, as a Detroit native, as a lifetime Lions fan, and when you watch this show, you see the Lions helmet up in the background. There are people that played in Detroit that don't have their Lions helmet hanging up in their house or their background. So I'm ride or die 10 toes down. This is 313 thing. And I'll just tell you this. I've seen my favorite football team ruin some of the greatest careers as it relates to postseason and the opportunity to get to the Super Bowl in the history of the NFL. We've won one playoff game in 60 years. Let me say that again out loud. We won one playoff game in 60 years. Okay? Patrick Mahomes has thrown more touchdown passes already in his playoff career than the entire Lions franchise has. Like, it's been, like, dismal. And so when I see Ndamukong Suh or Big Play Slay or some of the players that play really well and became all pros in Detroit and go somewhere else in ball, you know I root for them. And when Barry retires unceremoniously, and Megatron does the exact same thing, I'm not mad at them because I saw what they put their bodies through and the sacrifices they made for the team. And I want to bring something on wax. How many years now have I been telling you Matthew Stafford has Hall of Fame talent? He needs to escape my Detroit Lions, put himself in position to win if that's going to be achieved. How many years I've been telling you that?
Many years, Mr. Rose, but it's time to move on to another franchise in turmoil from the Lions, and that is the New York Giants, right across the river here in New York City. They have a new GM, and here's what the GM said about the plan for the future. I can't even keep a straight face.
There's not anybody in this building that said a bad word about his work ethic, passion, you know, desire to win. And I think you got to have those traits as a quarterback. And the kid has physical ability. You know, he's got arm strength, he's athletic, he can run. So I'm really excited to work with Daniel. And again, when the new staff gets in here, we'll build an offense around Daniel to accentuate what he does best.
Jalen, I've been riding for Danny Dimes for way too long. Until this season, I jumped off that bandwagon. What Daniel Jones does best is strip sacks and interceptions. That's what Daniel Jones does best. And some tells me that Daniel Jones will not be the long-term plan for this new GM.
Well, get off the bandwagon. EPMD. And here's why I'll say this. Not that he can't have a resurgence as a Ryan Tannehill at a secondary opportunity. We've seen it happen with quarterbacks. He's still a young player. I'm not going to give up, quote unquote, on his career. But what I will say, it seems like his opportunity has expired in that spot. Like, there's a reason why players play for multiple teams, but sometimes still have long careers. You have to find the right place at the right time. And I feel like he's had his opportunity in New York City to lead that franchise, and he hasn't shown me that I would bet my personal future on him. Especially when I see that Aaron Rodgers is not committed to his team, or we don't know what's gonna happen with Russell Wilson. Like, why are you even saying that out loud? You know, it's only about maybe 10 teams that know who their starter is and they're proud of it, quote unquote, next year. I don't know if the Giants fall into that category. As a matter of fact, they don't fall into that category. So why before the draft and why before free agency? Players might shake loose things. So right now, your mentality is going into the building and build around him. Good luck, Giants.
Well, what this sounds like to me is the new GM coming in and behind closed doors saying, we got to fix this quarterback position thing. I do not believe in Daniel Jones's future.
Okay.
But because he's the only one on the roster, okay, when you get in front of microphones, okay, you're like, oh, we're going to build around Daniel Jones and accentuate what he does best.
Okay.
Because I think that anyone in that building knows that Daniel Jones is not the future at that position if you're trying to win the division and move on into the playoffs. We're going to move on into something extremely interesting. Jalen, I've got some news about the Michigan Wolverines basketball team you
Hail
might
to the
want
victors.
To talk about. Stay tuned. Doubleheader Friday night on ESPN, starting with the Lakers in Charlotte to take on LaMelo Ball and the Hornets. That's at 7:30, and then at 10 o'clock in the nightcap, it is Bing Bong, the New York Knicks, traveling to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. Countdown at 7 o'clock. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Ja Morant, another casual 41 points in a Grizzly win. Jalen, has he played himself into the MVP conversation?
Absolutely, and I can't ignore the promo when I saw LaMelo and the Hornets put up big numbers the other night and how Julius Randle's been struggling with the Knicks. Looking forward to doing that on Friday night. But Ja's in the top five of the conversation, deserves to be. He's been balling this year. They're third in the West. The problem is the people ahead of him are CP3, Devin Booker, and Steph Curry in the standings. But it's great to watch what Taylor Jenkins has done with that team.
Absolutely. It's also great to watch what Juwan Howard has done with the Wolverines. After a tough start, they now have three in a row. It came down to the last second last night. Jalen, I know you're watching. Where were your emotions during these final moments?
I'm so very excited that we're starting to get our group back together due to injuries and COVID. I've been unable to attend a home game, Jacoby. I was going to go to a couple of games and they got canceled. And so now all of a sudden we're starting to get healthy. It's getting close to the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament time. I know you're ready to go ride with your brother, go root on the Wolverines.
So of course, I've never been to Ann Arbor. I will definitely join you in Ann Arbor for a Wolverines game. You join us right here tomorrow, 4 o'clock on ESPN.
Shout out Big Newt.
We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
Couple things I want to discuss with you. Number one, the Hornets scored 158 points in a basketball game. 158 points in a professional basketball game against the Pacers. Now, it is worth mentioning that the Pacers are not just shorthanded, they're no-handed. They got no hands. They got no hands. They're not shorthanded. They're no-handed. And but still, Jalen, as a professional basketball player, what happens in the huddle? What happens in the locker room at halftime? What is the morale like? What happens after the game when you give up 158? And it's not like they were playing the 73-win Warriors either. You know, they're playing the Hornets. But what is the vibe when you lose like that?
So, first I want to shout the Hornets because they're one of the most exciting league pass teams to watch when they're healthy because they fly up and down the floor. And the ball don't stick. And they have multiple players that can dribble, pass, and shoot. In particular, our guy LaMelo Ball. Scary Terry be out there getting buckets. You know how much I love Gordon Hayward, so I just be watching them. And then Miles Bridges be coming and flying through and just dunking on whoever. So they like exciting to watch play. So I want to make sure I acknowledge that because that's how you get 156 points in a regular season game. And it doesn't go to overtime. 158 points, thanks, D. I remember watching the highest scoring NBA game on WGPR, Channel 62 in Detroit growing up. And it was Detroit Pistons against the Denver Nuggets. They both went to overtime. I think it was 183 to 181. However, the dubious thing about that night, I think a grand total of three-pointers were made by both teams.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? That means Hall of Fame guard play in Isaiah and Joe, and then our big three in the microwave, Vinny Johnson. People forget how he used to be getting buckets. Hit a huge game winner against Portland to win us the championship. And so, like, but these are the earlier days, but maybe even before Vinny. I think this is like John Long and Kelly Tripucka days. But either way, the Hornets are a team that's getting up and down. They had Michael Adams, Alex English. And you know, I'm just loving talking ball. I'm just doing this on purpose. Dan Issel, you know, this, okay. they got guys that get buckets. But let me get to the core thing of what I really want to discuss. I'm really disappointed in my Pacers. And you can say they're shorthanded or no-handed. I can say they're not competitive and they're not, they don't have a, they don't have an identity. That's what I'll say. And they got too many players, when healthy, to be one of the worst records in the Eastern Conference. And I know COVID, I know injuries, I know Carlisle's been in and out. I know everything. This is what I do for a living. I know everything. But still, when I look down at the standings, I don't know why they're that low.
What you used to always say, what you used to always talk about is their consistency and how, like, they don't get talked about as one of contenders, but they're always in the 4, 5, or 6 seed, and they're always there year after year. And I really felt like Rick Carlisle was going to help them get over the hump. But it seems like they're getting buried by the hump right now.
And the other team I said it about that's sub below that expectation was Portland. Remember I was saying Indiana and Portland. Mm-hmm. For like when Nate McMillan and was in Indiana and Dame was in, just got to Portland, like you look down at the standings, they 4 or 5. Nobody ever talk about them. And so when I look at deeper into their roster, I can pluck players off of the Pacers right now and give them a team. And it'll be like, man, that'll be dope.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got talented players. We did they this do. Experiment with Miles Turner before. We did it with Sabonis before. Caris LeVert is a 20-point scorer. And President Brogdon, you know how much I love him.
Yeah, they can't. They signed him to extension so they can't trade Brogdon, but everybody else is on the poor.
And so, like, man, Indiana's going to be definitely a team that's, you know, a contributor when teams are trying to make moves as this yes. cycle starts to happen over the next few weeks.
I don't think the Pacers get better at the trade deadline, but they make someone else better, and they're going to be impactful as it comes to the balance of the league. But one thing I want to shout out is Kelly Oubre. He had a big game last night, 39 points, but I've watched him when he was with the Wizards. And then he was with the Suns and didn't really stick. And then remember he was on the Warriors and that didn't really stick. And it's so nice to see him land in Charlotte and have this role coming off the bench and just really finding a place where he is being used in a way that works for him and a role that works for him.
I got you. So, I got you, family. So, Kelly Oubre leaves, I think, the Pelicans, and he arrives with the Warriors. And he's struggling initially, mightily. And I come on TV and I say,
he was with the Suns before the Warriors, but continue.
Suns, then Warriors. Thank you for that correction. Always appreciate it. I said, it's not that he can't ball, is that the Warriors' style of play with the dribble handoffs and how their design in pass and cut, like your hair is on fire, that's too fast for his pace offensively. You remember me saying that? Like, mm-hmm. he's not that style of player. But Memphis does the exact same thing, but they do it in transition.
Charlotte.
See, the Warriors do it in half court. When you watch the Warriors in half court, it's Draymond at the top. It's whoever's initiating the offense, it's Steph pick and roll. And then somebody gets into the play. It's Jordan Poole getting into the play. Single double, down screen, flare screen. Somebody's getting into the play. Whereas with the Hornets, everybody's facing the basket when they get the ball, if that makes sense. And so now Kelly Oubre can still play fast because he's a great athlete, but it's not a breakneck speed like the Warriors, where he couldn't find his rhythm. So, like, I agree with you, and I'm glad you brought that up, especially when he had, you know, earlier in the year, he made some bad decisions in New York, and MJ was dumbfounded. I was, too. So it's good to see him start to play a lot better.
It is. I mean, just because a player bounces around from team to team doesn't mean that he can't they don't ball. Have value. And if they find the right spot, then they can really flourish. And
I got a date with my daughters, since you brought it up. I got a date with my daughters. February 11th, Detroit City, Pistons host the Charlotte Hornets. They like, we got to go see Melo and Kelly Oubre, Dad.
Great. Well, you should be wearing your Melos, man. Make sure you. I've got a pair of your Melos, actually. I got a size 15 Melo sitting in my closet. Big old red shoes. I'm looking at them every day. Like, I don't know what to donate these. Like, I don't know what I do with these. So if you wear size 15, hit up the show. Jalen, a couple things I also wanted to touch on. The story that Woj put out, and no shots at Woj, he's doing his job. The Nets are not taking trade offers for James Harden. I didn't find that. I didn't know that was a thing. Was that a thing?
That's almost like Joey ain't accepting offers to replace Jacoby.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. I was like, I didn't know we had to put that out there. That's my wife's name is Joey. If you're listening, it's like, wait a second. I mean, wait a minute.
Yeah. You look at the bottom of the ticker. You're like, hey, Joey.
Yeah, like, Joey is not looking for a replacement husband for David Jacoby. It's like, whoa. She's like, what? I'm not. Like, what do you mean? I love you. I'm like, wow. I didn't know this had to be addressed. I didn't know this was a question that needed to be answered, right. And didn't know it was news when it was. What do you make of that and sort of like all the drama surrounding Harden and KD and Kyrie and what's happening with the Nets?
Anybody that watch and listen to this show, they already know what I feel. And the bottom line is this. This big three with the Nets ain't forever. And what happens this year is pivotal. If they get bounced and Kyrie's a part-time player, James Harden's going to want to leave.
Well, there's also this, Jay. When you say they ain't forever, they haven't happened yet. This big three hasn't happened yet. They played two games together this season. Two games together. I really want to see it happen, and I still contend that if the big three are healthy, even with Kyrie on a part-time basis, they will win the Eastern Conference. Make sure you call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us voicemails for tomorrow. We will be back tomorrow with another dope pod to step two. Why is that, Jalen, Anthony, Rubber Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.